So what I would like to talk will be, so I hope this is on and you can hear me. If it's not on, and I still hope you can hear me. So I will be following the tradition of people from Prague, started by Jarek Nešetil, of giving the blackboard talks, even if my talk is more CS-oriented. And just to prove that it's not my laziness not to prepare slides, I prepared the slides. It's, I have a proof here. Yeah, of course. And I would like to give a general introduction to the area that I think Stefan Kreutzer originally came up with the name algorithmic metatheorems. I would like to mention two results that I managed to achieve in this area. One of them is a joint work with Zdeněk Dvořák, sitting in the fourth row over there, and with Robin Tomas from Georgia Tech. The other one is a joint work with Tomáš Gavenčák, who's a student in Prague, and Sangil Ohm from KAIST in Korea. So the most classical result in this area, or the story started with that people naturally want to solve hard problems, like we have like well-known NP complete problems. Such as free colorability, which we have already seen during this workshop many times as an example of CSP problem, or Hamilton cycle, the existence of a Hamilton cycle in a graph, or, I don't know, traveling salesman problem, and many others. And these problems are hard in general, so it's natural to consider graph classes for which the efficient algorithms exist. And and already, I think I completely follow the Prague tradition. So, and already in the 80s, it was observed that these problems can be solved for graphs with bounded tree width. So I probably should recall the definition of a tree width. I remember Andrei Krokin giving the definition during the very first week of this summer program, but I cannot recall anybody giving the definition this week yet. So a tree decomposition of a graph . We have a graph G, and a tree decomposition is a tree that does not need to be a part of the graph. It's a tree that's not related in any way to the graph G. So like it's not a spanning tree or anything like that. And each node of the tree is assigned a subset of the vertices of the original graph. So maybe I have this graph. A, B, C, D, and E, and each node is supposed to be assigned a subset of vertices. So maybe this node is assigned, let's say, BCD, this node BC, when we have B here, maybe we have ABC here, CDE, E, and maybe I put B here again. So, and there are two conditions. One condition is that for every edge of the graph, there exists a node such that this edge is contained in that node. So we have a tree that decomposes as the graph. Each node of the tree is assigned a subset of the vertices of the original graph. And we know that for every edge, maybe let's say HCD, there exists a node in the tree like this one, that contains both the end vertices of that edge. And second condition is that nodes containing happening. Any vertex of G form a subtree. So for instance, if I look at a vertex C, then I get a path of length 2. And then the depth of the decomposition, the width is the maximum number of vertices assigned to a node and from some consistency reasons minus 1. So of course every graph has a trivial tree decomposition consisting of a tree with a single vertex where we single node where we assign all the vertices to that node, and what we want to have, we want to have kind of narrow tree decompositions, and that narrowness is measured by the width. So the width of this particular tree decomposition is 2, and the tree width of a graph is the minimum width of its decomposition. So there was all these problems can be solved for classes of graphs which admit a tree decomposition of bounded width, and there was of course a natural question, what do these problems have in common? So what can be said about them? And all this area was started with a theorem by Kurzweil. From early 90s. And the theorem says that every graph property expressible in monadic second order logic can be decided in linear time for graphs with bounded tree. So I probably don't have to recall what monadic second order logic here is, that we allow to quantify over vertices, edges, and subsets of vertices and edges. And all these, and this theorem includes the particular two decision problems that I have written above, the free colorability and the existence of the Hamilton cycle. And there are several generalizations of these theorems allowing extension when you also allow some counting, both like modulo counting or other versions, or you seek some optimum weight solution which can be described in using MSOL formulas, and this more general theorem also implies that you can solve the traveling salesman problem for graphs with bounded tree. So what I want to talk here, I want to be talking about extensions of Kurzweil's theorem or other theorems of this type that guarantee the existence of efficient algorithm for problems that can be described using formulas in certain logic for certain classes of combinatorial objects. And I will be interested both for graphs, and also I will be interested for deciding such properties for metroids. So maybe first let me stay with graphs, and I will try to draw a table. So we have graph, we have monadic second order logic, and we have Kurzweil's theorem, which basically says that you can decide any MSOL property in linear time for graphs. So one can ask what we can say about first-order logic properties, and of course the natural objection is, what would you like to say with respect to polynomiality of deciding first-order logic properties, because if I give you a first-order logic property, you simply can try all the possible choices for the quantifiers, and by that you decide whether the formula is true or false. So what we would like here is to have FPT algorithms. So for first order logic, we would like to have FPT algorithms, and these are the algorithms of the following time. So we seeking for algorithms with running time some function of the given formula of the given first order property times n power 2 c, where c is independent of. And examples of such results include so where the result of Zeze, and I have to check the slides for the exact year 96. And he showed that deciding first order logic properties is linear time. For graphs with bounded degree. Another little bit less general, but for a different class of graphs, is a theorem of Epstein from 1994. And he showed that deciding the existence of a subgraph can be solved in linear time. And first he showed it for planar graphs, and later he generalized it for graphs embeddable on surfaces. In fact, he introduced a little bit more general notion under which he showed that you can decide the existence of a given subgraph in linear time, and this notion was the notion of local tree width. I just put the definition here. Yeah, so the theorem says that for any fixed graph and any fixed surface, there exists a linear time algorithm that decides whether a graph embedded on that surface or embeddable on that surface has that subgraph as a subgraph. So to be more precise, for every surface sigma and every graph H, there exists an algorithm running in time O(n), deciding whether H is a subgraph of a given graph embeddable in sigma. So you for every graph and every surface you have a linear time algorithm. So you're of course right that every graph can be embedded on some surface, but you restrict the complexity of the graph by fixing the surface into which you consider the embedding. So Epstein introduced a more general notion, or a different notion, which he calls local tree width, and this is not a parameter of a single graph, but it's a parameter of a class of graphs. So we say that a class of graphs has locally bounded tree width if where exists a function f from integers to integers, such that, and I should name the class, let it be G, such that for every graph from the class and every vertex of this graph, the neighbors of V and every D, the neighbors of V at distance at most D, induce a subgraph of tree with at most f of d. So of course this definition doesn't make sense for a single graph, because for if you have a finite graph, then you can just take the maximum of tree with of d distance neighborhoods of the vertices, and it will always be a finite number. So this makes sense only for classes of graphs, and we say that a class of graphs is locally bounded tree with where exists a function such that whenever you take a graph from the class, you take a vertex in that graph, you look at distance at most d, when the graph that you see has tree with at most f of d. So one particular example of such a class of graphs are planar graphs, more generally graphs embeddable on surfaces, and therefore Epstein's result also was saying that you can test in linear time the existence of a subgraph, of a given subgraph in classes of graphs with locally bounded tree-width. So again, there's a question what all these algorithms have in common, because we have this... this one? No, what's the definition? Yeah, which now I want to say. So, and there's several theorems generalizing this one, and one of them is a theorem of Frequent-Grohe, and I have to check the year, from 2001. And they proved the following, that for every class of graphs, with locally bounded tree width, every FOL property can be decided in almost linear time and by this almost linear time I mean that the running time of the algorithm is bounded by O to N 1 plus epsilon for every positive epsilon. So you have an algorithm that's not linear, but the running time of the algorithm is bounded by N to 1 plus epsilon for every positive epsilon. So it's there's no condition on the function. It just should be finite. I don't think you need constructibility. No, you don't need constructibility. Like, if you want to... To have the algorithm, you need to evaluate this function for some particular values of d.
You need to be able to evaluate the function. Right?
You need to know the values of the function for a finite subset of the domain. So you don't need to be able to evaluate this function in the sense that you need an algorithm computing the function, but you have to be able to
evaluate. The set of d for which you have to evaluate
is finite. It's always finite. Given, for every formula, it's finite, but it depends on the formula.
Okay, then it's not a condition. Yeah. It's an F of D for this finite
Yeah, yeah. So this was a theorem of Frigg and Grohe. So I can write here local triwith. But this theorem was later generalized, and there have been several extensions. So I'll probably erase here. And one of the extensions was due to Davar, Grohe, and Kreutzer. Maybe I should write it. And they extended this theorem to classes of graphs locally excluding a minor. So it's a generalization of classes of graphs with locally bounded triwith. And I just say the definition. A class of graphs has locally bounded, is locally excluding a minor if for every D where exists some graph, let me call it MD, such that no D neighborhood of a vertex of any graph in G contains MD as a minor. So by the D neighborhood, I mean you take a vertex and you take all the vertices at distance at most D. And this is clearly a generalization of the notion of locally bounded triwith, because if you have bounded triwith, you do not contain a large grid as a minor. And what they managed to show is that under this condition, you don't have a linear time algorithm, but you have an FPT time algorithm. So you have an algorithm for every formula and for every class of graphs locally excluding a minor, you have an algorithm which runs in polynomial time. The degree of the polynomial is independent of the class, independent of the formula, but it's not one. I thought at some point it was something they didn't really specify it in the paper. I thought it was cubic, but when I was talking to Martin Grohe, he told me it's worse. But it's like something like N26 or N28. So another FPT class that you can have here is the class of locally excluding a minor. And now I want to do some propaganda for Zdeněk's talk. And this will be in the spirit of the classes that Jarek Nešet shall define. And oops. Really? So we saw the definition of classes of graphs with bounded expansion. So just to remind you, we say that a class of graphs has bounded expansion. And I will probably say one of the equivalent definitions mentioned in Patrice's talk. So these classes were defined by Patrice Osona de Mendes and Jarek Nešetřil. And one of the equivalent definition is that for every D where exists some constant CD such that average degree of D shallow minors is at most CD. And a D shallow minor is a graph that you can obtain by deleting vertices, deleting edges, and contracting subgraphs of radii at most D. So these classes of graphs include examples include minor closed classes of graphs, in particular graphs invertible on surfaces, or graphs with bounded degree, and many others. So what we can prove, and this is a theorem now with Zdeněk and Robin, that we can decide first order logic properties in linear time for classes with bounded expansion. So every FOL property can be decided in linear time for classes of graphs with bounded expansion So this is the result that Zdeněk will be talking tomorrow, so I don't want to be talking too much about it, because probably Zdeněk wouldn't be too... I will get to it in a second. And this result also allows us to define classes with locally bounded expansion So locally bounded expansion is what you would expect for every, and I think I was a little bit unlucky with choosing that D. Let me make this D zero. But for every D and every D0 where exists a constant such that every D0 shallow minor contained in a D neighborhood of a vertex of a graph from the class has maximum average degree at most the constant. And for this class of graphs, you can show that first order logic properties can be decided in almost linear time. So this in particular includes this result, because if you're locally excluding minor, then you have bounded degree. So this class of graphs have locally bounded expansion. So here we can write. It's an improvement on the complexity. It's also an improvement of the complexity. So it's not only a general, but also like improvement in the upper bound. So there were several key results. One is the existence of low 3-depth colorings, which was for classes of graphs with bounded expansion, that was proved by Nešetil and Osona de Mendez, and I think Zdeněk will be able to give quite some details of how this algorithm works. So I want to switch to a different area. It's So we have graphs, and there's a combinatorial structure generalizing graph called metroids. And I probably should give a definition. So a metroid is a triple. We have a ground set, and we have a set of subsets of X, and these sets are called independent sets. And there are several conditions which should be satisfied. So first of all, the empty set is always independent. If we have some set, let's say A, which is independent, and we have a subset, when the subset is also independent, and finally, if we have two sets that are independent, when such that one of them is smaller than the other, when there exists an element of the bigger one, such that the set with this element added, the smaller set with this element added, is also independent. So there are several examples. Examples include, you have so-called vector metroids, where the elements are vectors over a field, and a subset of the vectors is independent if these vectors are linearly independent over the field. When we have graphic metroids, and these are metroids where the... Maybe I should write a definition because I will be talking a little bit more about them. So a graphic metroid. So elements are edges and independent sets are those sets of acyclic subset of edges. And there's another another example are so-called cographic metroids, and elements are edges, and set is independent, if its removal does not increase number of components. So we see that that metroids kind of generalized graphs, so it's natural to ask whether you can translate some of these results to metroids. And in fact, this result was, or Kurzel's theorem was generalized to metroids by Hliněný in I think it was around 2002, but I am not completely sure here. It's plus minus 1 year. And he showed that if you have here, so you need two conditions. You need bounded branch width. So a formula, so you quantify over the elements and subsets of elements, and you have a predicate that tells you whether the subset of elements is independent. Yeah. So in MSOL you can quantify over a set of elements, and you have a predicate that encodes you the input metroid. So in the case of graphs, you had a binary predicate that was telling you whether two vertices are adjacent. Here you have a predicate that tells you whether a given set is independent or not. And you need second condition, you need a representation over a finite field. So I probably should recall what Brandreth is, and I kept the definition of tree decompositions where. So I put the definition of branch decompositions here. So I am now confused by your question. Are you asking where are examples of properties expressible in monadic second order logic that you cannot that are NP complete for metroid representable over the rationals? So in some sense you need the assumption that the metroid is represented over finite field. The question is ever, like, I put here a stronger thing, I put here that you need actually a representation. And this is kind of a question, whether like you really need just the metroid with the guarantee that it's representable over a finite field, or whether you really need a representation. But there are properties expressible in monadic second order logic. I think even testing binary, whether the metroid is binary, is NP complete for metroids with bounded branch width representable over the rationals. So that's also a good question. So there's another question, how the metroid is given. And this can be given either by representation, or there are several algorithms which also take the black box a metroid given as a black box. So you're given a function, but you have the access to the function in the sense you can call the function, it returns you the value, but you don't see inside the function. So if you have the representation over, yeah, when you can do basically everything, because the number of metroids is double exponential in the number of non-isomorphic metroids is double exponential in the number of elements. So if you decide to encode a metroid in all the metroids in some reasonable way, then of course your input will be exponential. So like you have to go either you restrict the class of metroids to a class that you can encode, so the input is reasonably long, or you consider the black box representation, which also surprisingly you can get some interesting algorithms. Let me give the definition of the branch decompositions and branch width, and then I mentioned some of the algorithms actually using the black box. So a branch decomposition is a tree, and inner nodes have degree 3, and leaves 1-to-1 correspond with elements of a metroid M. So we have a tree, maybe like this, and in the leaves, the elements of the metroid are sitting. And then the width of the decomposition, so maybe I first define a width of an edge. So if you take an edge of this tree, then this naturally gives you a decomposition of the elements of the metroid into two sets. Namely, you have this set, AF, and you have this set BF. So the width of edge is, and now I use that term that I will have to define, rank of one set plus rank of the other set minus the rank of the whole metroid. So I add here that rank of a subset is the size of the maximum independent, so rank of A is a maximum independent subset of A. So, and actually, if you have vector metroid, then the rank of a set is equal to the dimension of the linear Hall of the vectors in the set. And then, of course, when you define the width of the decomposition, to be the maximum width of an edge and branch width of a metroid, minimum width of the composition. So branch width of a graphic metroid is linearly bound with its tree width, and the constants are small. So if I do remember correctly, when the branch width is at most the tree width, and tree width is at most 1.5 times the branch width plus some additive constants. So these two parameters in the case of graphic metroids are essentially same. So if you have a class of graphs with bounded tree width, and the corresponding class of graphic metroids has bounded branch width. So in this sense, this first condition is a generalization, or is an analog of the condition of bounded tree width. And the second condition, there are some structural results that probably I will not have time to mention, which suggests that if you consider metroids representable over finite fields, then they behave very similar to graphs. So these are recent structural results by Gielen, Herard, and Whittle. And what they did essentially, they showed that most of the results for classes of graphs that exclude a fixed graph as a minor, they translate also to metroids that are representable over a fixed finite field. And I should have mentioned here that the Lignani algorithm is not linear, but its running time is cubic in n. So here there's a question whether you need the branch decomposition to be given, and there are two results that I would like to mention in this respect to this. So it's still not known whether if you're given a metroid by an oracle, so oracle given metroid. So that means you have a black box to which you just ask, is this set independent or not? So it's known whether deciding whether the branch width is at most k, whether this is FPT. So this is still not known. But there's a quite recent algorithm by Ohm and Seymour from, I believe, 2004. And this algorithm says that deciding whether a given metroid, oracle given metroid, has branch width at most k can be solved in time something like this. So it's a time that's linear in the branch width that you want to test, but it's clearly not FPT. But for for Metroid representable over finite fields, there's a better algorithm due to Hliněný and Ohm. And where the cubic time if the input Metroid is represented over a finite field. So here you need just the assumption of bounded branch wave. You don't have the decomposition to be part of the input, because you can run this algorithm to obtain the optimal decomposition, and there were even earlier algorithms to approximate the wave, but you need the Metroid to be given by its representation over a finite field. So in the last 5 minutes, I hope I still have. Yeah, probably. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Fonjok. So in the last 5 minutes, I would like to say a few words about the extension that I did with a student from Prague, Tomáš Gavenčák and Sangil Ohm, whether somehow you can define an analogical notion to this that would allow you to obtain an FPT algorithm for some class of Metroid. And actually what we managed to define the notion of locally bounded branch width and when you see locally, then of course you should wake up and ask me what's the distance in a Metroid, because like it's not clear. Yeah, thank you. So we say that the distance of two elements is the minimum length of a circuit containing both E and F. And you can show that the distance defined in this way actually satisfies the triangle inequality. A circuit is a minimal dependent set in a Metroid. So it's a set that's not independent, but if you remove any element, it becomes dependent. So circuits for graphic Metroid, circuits one-to-one correspond to cycles in a graph. So this you can view as somehow like if you have a graph and it doesn't contain cycles locally, then it also says that the Metroid is more or less just a bunch of independent elements. And if it contains cycles, when the length of the cycle is twice the distance between the elements, if you take the shorter. So and the definition is then what you would expect, then you say that a class of Metroids has locally bounded branch width if whenever you take an element, you look at the D neighborhood of it, when the branch width of the D neighborhood is bounded by a constant. So for every D where exists a constant CD such that branch width of D neighborhoods of any element is at most CD. And this is of course defined for class of Metroid. So the nice thing is that if you have a class of graphs with locally bounded tree width, when the corresponding Metroid have locally bounded branch width, so this concept includes the locally bounded tree width, but the converse implication is not true. So you can have a class of graphs that does not have locally bounded tree width, the corresponding class of Metroids have locally, but the corresponding class of Metroids have locally bounded branch width. And what we managed to show here is if you have locally bounded branch width, and your matroid is regular. So regular means it's representable over any field. When you can decide FOL properties in FPT time, and I want to be safe, I put here time n to the 4. Okay, so that's a good question, because to a predicate you can feed it with a set of elements. So you can quantify over the elements, and when you can even say you have predicate of arbitrary arity to which you put the elements, and you ask, are these elements whether they form an independent set? No.
You have bounded number of quantifiers,
therefore you have a bounded number of predicates which you need in the formula. So you can either say you have one predicate to which you feed a set formed by the element over which you quantify, or you can say for every arity I have a predicate which is for every arity k I have a k-ary predicate which tells me whether a given k tuple is independent or not. Jan? That's a question that I really don't like to be answering. And you can, for instance, express the existence of a short cycle. And you can be expressing some other properties, like of course, you cannot express as much as you can do with MSOL. So maybe in the last minute, so let me say that the difficulty here actually was not on the logic side, but the difficulty was actually with testing, or the algorithmic difficulty. The major algorithmic difficulty was coming with testing the distance between given two elements. Because on the logic side, basically what we use the Gaiman theorem that kind of says that first order logic properties are local, and this gives us the description what one should do. But the trouble is that we somehow need to be able to test whether two elements are close to each other, and this turned out to be surprisingly difficult. So fortunately for regular graphs, there's a theorem that they can be obtained from graphic metroids, co-graphic metroids, and one particular 10-element metroid by gluing together. So this is a theorem of Seymour from 80s. And this theorem actually can be changed to an algorithm. And then in graphic and co-graphic metroids, you have to come up with testing whether two elements they lie on a common short circuit. And this is not that easy. In graphic metroids, there's a standard technique called color coding that you just use for that. And in co-graphic metroids, this turned out to be a major obstacle, and only recently we managed to find something which was reasonably simple based on a recent work of Kawarabashi and Torup on multi-way cuts. And I think I just ran out of my time. So whoever is the chair, I thank you for your attention. Oh, yeah, there's lower bounds, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, so, yeah, so the constants are here growing similarly to the counterpart of the results. I have to say that actually in the results with Zdeněk, I think they even grow a little bit, well, it's hard to judge, like they grow fast. And there are no lower bounds. In particular, there are some lower bounds kind of for the MSOL, like depending on the number of classes of equivalence with respect to a given formula. I am not aware of such results for metroids, but I would believe that you would be able to come up with lower bounds too. But
But the constants involved in big O were not something really reasonable. They were very similar to the counterpart.
I was thinking about this, so I would believe there might be a chance, but this structure theory, even for binary Metroid, it seems to be not that easy, and I'm not sure whether I know they first did it for binary and they extended it to all Metroids representable over finite fields, and I'm not sure whether it's already written up for binary or not. So I think they're writing it up, but I'm not sure whether it's written up or not. It's definitely like there's a theorem, but yeah, that you can find out, and yeah, so it's plausible that you would be able to replace regular using these techniques, but I have to give a little warning. So deciding whether two elements lie on a short cycle in a binary short circuit in binary Metroid is known to be NP complete because it's somehow related to code, so there's some reduction. So but still, like, it's not like hopeless in those sense, because if you will be given a Metroid with locally bounded branch width, and most likely you have a chance of exploiting this to solve it for what you need. But there's a chance, but I cannot comment more on it when there's a chance. Well, I don't know whether this would have like interesting structural results. Like, it would make sense in case you get some interesting structural results, but that I am not aware of. Like, maybe one comment that, like, you are aware, because I told you about with Ferry Kardosh and Ondra Pangrat, we have been trying to develop a notion analogous to 3-depth for Metroid. We have a notion which we called so far branch depth. It's like a working term for it. It has some nice properties that you would like to have, in particular if you have a black box Metroid given by branch. So if a Metroid has bounded branch depth, it cannot contain too long circuits. So it's kind of an analog of the length of a path. And if you don't have too long circuits, then you can test Metroid isomorphism in polynomial time, because you just enumerate all the circuits. So this is so where some holes that some of the techniques could be translated, but we don't have a nice theory that, like, you know, like you probably want to obtain something that you see it fits each other in some sense. And we don't have a theory yet or a result that would be fitting nicely together. Shrink? Yeah. Yeah, it's a simple example. You take an subdivision of Kn and you add an apex. So this class of graphs, it doesn't have locally bounded tree width, because the neighbors of this vertex, they form a subdivision of a complete graph, and the tree width is not bounded, but the corresponding class of Metroid has locally bounded branch width, which is not hard to show. Like, you have to think a little bit about it, but like you were asking for.
I'm asking for a class of graph.
Okay.
It is not bound expansion.
Oh, sorry, I had branch width. Sorry, not bounded expansion, but. Okay, yeah. That's the example that Zdeněk always tells me when I ask him for this example.
Thank you, Zdeněk. So what is age with?
So let's say cycle, right? I have a cycle. Now, instead of saying that the vertices on the back or the top three, they could be on the cycle.
So you asking like in the tree decomposition to change the host graph?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Like, if you will be just asking, if you just allow like graphs that do not have two intersecting cycles, when first of all the theory would work, and second of all these graphs would have again bounded tree with different constant. So I would even say as long as the host graph that you allow with this class is bounded tree with, and the original class of graphs would have bounded tree with too, because you just compose the two decompositions.
No.
I wanted to propose coffee break, yeah.